Thank you for your fine singing this morning. And I'm very thankful to see that you let the old boy up here to sing. You notice, Linda, I didn't include you in that, did I? Okay. But anyway, it is nice to see everybody participate. It's good to see everybody here this morning. It really is. Do you ever have this happen to you where you try and reach for a pocket and you don't have one? Eh? That's usually quite embarrassing, isn't it? Anyway, I thought I'd stand down here. I like standing down. I don't like being up behind the pulpit. I find, too, that nothing against your pulpit, but it's quite narrow. People can see my knees knocking up there. So I figured you might as well watch them down here. It's a little closer. A lot of people think I'm dancing, but I'm really not. But anyway, this morning, it's just good to be with you. It really is good to be here. And it's good to see our world, if I can say this, opening up a little bit, where we have a little bit more pleasure, where we can go to a restaurant now instead of eating outside, we can actually eat inside. Everybody like going to eat inside a restaurant? Amen. Now, it's not that I say that we go there very often, but it's only when I don't like to cook, because I happen to be the chief cook and bottle washer at home. So my wife is out keeping me in the lifestyle I'm accustomed to. Anyway, I enjoyed the music this morning very, very much. We used to live just two doors down from Barb, and I used to enjoy going out into the hallway and hearing that piano going. And there for a while, there was a lady that was across the road. She had a big organ, and she would play. And it was nice. I'd go down the hall, and sometimes I would sing to myself, you know, being very thankful that there wasn't an audience around. But anyway, it was just wonderful. It was really wonderful. Can I tighten this up a little bit? This one's broke. Then I won't lean on it too hard, okay? That's all right. This will be fine. This young man here will catch me anyway. You will, won't you? How much will that cost me? Thank you.
That's not going in.
All right. Not only do my knees shake, I get kind of fall sometimes. Anyway, when Kathy and I are right in the midst of a move, and you know, things are really up in the air, and to try and get things done to be here this week has been kind of a challenge, because we've been packing and we've had people coming through our home to look at it because they would like to rent it. And it's just been very, very tough. So pray for her, would you please? Because she has to put up with me. And when we get into moving and stuff like that, I like to think I'm the boss and she always proves me wrong. So I was watching a minister one time and he said, do you know, he said, I've been with my wife for 39 years, he says, and I've never won an argument yet. 39 years. He said, I got telling some friends of mine, and he said, well, that's not right. He said, we're going to have to sit down and we're going to have to talk about that for a while. So he sat down with his friends and they talked about it for a while. And he said, now, he said, go home, he said, and sit your wife down and tell her what we just discussed. So he said, all right. And he went home and he said, honey, he said, would you please come in here? He said, we got something important to talk about. And she said, okay. So they went in and they sat down at the table and he said, honey, he said, I just want you to know you're the boss. You're the boss. When we were together last month, we spoke on abiding, or on the word abide, and how important it is to stay in the word of God, how to stay in his favor. We spoke on three things that most people today are searching for. They're searching for peace. They're searching for purpose. They're searching for relationship. They're searching for peace, which today, in some cases, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, seems quite hopeless. Purpose, man today is wondering, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? And why am I even here? And today, a lot of people are saying, who really cares? And what's the point? It's kind of sad, isn't it? Relationship. Men and women are looking for relationships that will last. Because human relationships, very often, they fall by the wayside. They have a tendency to fail. But we need to work together in prayer for each other, as well as those around us. We need to pray for each chapel, as we were speaking of last week, which we have been doing at Quinty, and I pray that your folks have been doing it here for us as well. And especially today, because when I'm not there, my wife is looking after the sound system. So if they haven't fired her yet, I may beat her home. You never know. But prayer is very, very important. And you know, one thing my wife has actually pointed out to me that is very important for us to pray for ourselves. So many times we get praying, and my wife has said to me, she said, why don't you pray for you? I have quite a back problem, and I've had it for a lot of years. I'm in a lot of pain. And she said, why don't you pray for yourself? And I said, well, I guess I'm too busy praying for other people. I don't know. But it's good to pray for yourself as well. So do that. Remembering that God is the true vine, as we spoke of last time. And without him, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. Now, what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning, I think that our brother at the back there was kind of reading my notes this morning. I thought we would touch on the Holy Spirit a little bit. My wife, I had run these notes off for me because our computer, or our printer rather, is not working properly. So she ran them off for me at work. And she said to me, she said, did you know that you have 9 pages of notes? And I said, I have 9 pages? I said, I haven't said anything. And she said, yes, you've got 9 pages. But anyway, we'll try and get through them really quickly. I've actually deleted quite a bit of it, just so you know. Just so you know. But anyway, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit. And I found it very, very interesting. I've been doing a fair amount of reading on it. And sometimes things are very hard for me to understand. I don't have a great schooling. My reading was never the greatest, but sometimes it takes me, I have to read it over and over and over and in order for it to sink in. So if you just bear with me, please, as we go through this. But the Holy Spirit is a subject that we don't hear too much about anymore. Very, very seldom. Now, our brother mentioned it this morning in a meeting. Jerry mentioned it at this service, and I'm happy for that. But what I'm going to tell you today probably won't come to you as any surprise. It'll probably be exactly what you know already. But maybe we just need a refresher. We do. A little story. Martin arrived at Sunday school late one day. Miss Walter, his teacher, knew that Martin was usually always very punctual. And she asked him, is there something wrong? Martin said, no. He said that he had been going fishing with his dad, but his dad told him that he should go to church. Miss Walter was very impressed, and she asked the lad, did your dad explain to you why it's more important for you to go to church than go fishing? Martin said, yes, he did. Well, what did he say? Dad said that he didn't have enough bait for both of us. If you have your Bibles with you, would you kindly turn, please, to John chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting at verse 12. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and the greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commands, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, I will come again." And Romans 8 and verse 15 says this, 15 and 16, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Have you watched the series or the part of David Jeremiah? I know that you watched that the first of the week, first of the month, right? Have you watched his message on the Holy Spirit? Have you watched that yet, his message on the Holy Spirit? Oh, he does a wonderful job. He really does. And he really does it well, and he explains that it's our privilege, if we've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart to be our Savior, it's our privilege to be able to say, Abba, Father, which means Daddy. Which means Daddy. Now that's pretty simple, isn't it? That's pretty much down to our earth that we can understand that. John 16 and 13 says, "But when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you with all truth, and he will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is to come." Have you seen my knees shake yet? Because I am nervous. But we need to get to know the Holy Spirit as best we can, and we need to live a Spirit-filled life as best we can. But, you know, we need to understand a few things. First, we need to know that the Holy Spirit is not a person, and I'm sure everyone here knows that. Second, he has a name, and I don't know whether we ever think of the Holy Spirit as having a name, but he does, and his name is God. His name is God. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Holy Spirit. So he has a name. He is a unique part of the Trinity. Now, we're not here to talk about the Trinity, but a lot of people ask the question about how the Trinity can be three in one. Well, I don't know. I can't fully comprehend that. I really can't. That's far beyond my thinking. But one thing I do know is I was watching Billy Graham one night, and he used this example of an apple. He says, on an apple, you've got the skin on the outside. Then you've got the meat on the inside, which is for our own consumption. Then you have the core, which is at the center. Without either one of those things, the other one could not survive. But that's three in one, isn't it? The skin is there for its protection, the meat's for our consumption, and the core is there protecting the seeds that will grow. And I'm sure that you can think of many other instances as well. But I thought that was interesting when I heard him say that. But that's the only way that I can explain the Trinity and make sense of it. But we need to know that we cannot do what is pleasing to God on our own. We need help. We need help. So let's take a moment and just bow our head and have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, as we come into your presence this morning, we do so, our Heavenly Father, as we sang this morning with praise and with adoration, with honor and glory to your precious name, in thankfulness of what you have done for us on Calvary, and how, our Heavenly Father, that you have sustained your people and you have kept your promises to your people, that you would never leave them nor forsake them. Our Heavenly Father, as we look into this subject of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we know that it's a tremendous undertaking. But our Heavenly Father, as we barely scratch the surface this morning, I just pray that you would just help us, that you would give us the gift of understanding this morning. And we just give you thanks, Lord, for each person that's here. Open our ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is a huge subject, that's for sure. And I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but here we go. We'll understand the Holy Spirit, how he works, how he guides. He is an all-seeing and an all-knowing Spirit. He knows all things. To have the Holy Spirit dwell within, first we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Lord of lords, that he is the master of our life. And I pray and I believe that probably most everybody here, if not everybody here, believes that. But you have to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. You have to believe. Secondly, we have to repent of our sins. We need to ask forgiveness. We need to come to Jesus, and we have to ask forgiveness and to come into our heart. That's the second thing. Sounds like I'm talking about salvation all over again, doesn't it? And that's exactly what I'm doing here. We need to have Jesus in our heart. And then he said that when he went back into heaven, that he would send the Comforter that would guide us, and he would direct our goings out and our comings in. Third, we need to obey. Now, this has always been a tough situation for me because I've never been one to obey orders. You can ask my wife or you can ask my school teachers. They would all agree. I couldn't do that. But we need to obey. Then we need to surrender everything. We need to put everything on the altar of Jesus Christ. Make him number one in our lives. I was reading in another church statement of faith that I had the privilege of reading, and they explain it just a little bit better than I can. And here's what they say. They say, "We believe in the absolute and essential deity, personality of the Holy Spirit, who convicts of sin." Do you ever have, now here I go off track again, but do you ever have every once in a while this little gnawing, this little groaning and grinding down deep inside when you know that something just isn't right, that you can make right, but maybe you haven't made right? You know, you can go wherever you want to go. You can go to Hawaii if you want to. That doesn't make any difference. But if you haven't made it right, and you know Jesus is your personal Savior, that little prick that's inside, that's the Holy Spirit saying, it's got to be right. And you can't run from it. No matter where you go, you cannot run from it. The Holy Spirit is there. He is there. We need to know that we can't do what is pleasing to God and that we need to ask help while we can. When you get to shake as much as I do, you kind of have a tendency to lose your place as well. So the 9 pages could turn into 10 or 11. You never know. Anyway, let's go on over to this page. But I did. I got a little carried away. But what they were saying in their statement of faith is this, that they believe, and so do we, that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. That's number one. Okay? Of righteousness and of judgment. He rejuvenates. He indwells. He sanctifies. He seals. He teaches. He guides. And he comforts those who believe. There's another book that I was reading, The Gifts and the Ministries of the Holy Spirit. And we read that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. When God gives you something, it is a good thing. It's a plus. It's not a minus. God wants the gifts of the Holy Spirit to function in your life and in mine. He wants us to profit. He wants everyone to profit. He wants the church to profit. He wants those who hear the gospel to profit. Now, I'm not saying to profit monetarily. I'm not saying that, but he wants us to profit within his word, within getting to know him better, getting to know him better. The gifts of the Spirit are these. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 10, it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom," that's number one, "the word of knowledge, another is faith, the gifts of healing, and to another miracles, another prophecy, and to another one discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another one interpretation of tongues." There are 9 gifts of the Spirit altogether. Now this last one, we don't hear very much about the gifts of tongues, but it is a gift. It is a spiritual gift. We went one time, my wife and I and a few people from Quinte, and we went up to hear Nicky Gumbel. Do you know who he is, Nicky Gumbel? He's the one who was with the Alpha Course. And we went up there and we listened to him, and the whole program went very good. And just at the very end, he said, "Now let's everybody start singing in tongues." And you know, all over the auditorium, people started singing. And I said to my wife, I said, "This is strange, isn't it, for us?" And she said, "Yes, it is." But I bowed my head and I very sincerely, I said, "Father, if this gift is to be mine, then I would like to have it. But I guess that gift wasn't supposed to be mine. So I'll leave that to other people." But if you notice here too, where it says divers kinds of tongues, it also says that another is interpretation of tongues. You must have the interpretation. In Psalm 51 and verse 10 and 11, the psalmist says this. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and to renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." That's what the psalmist prayed. That's what we should pray. I think that's a great prayer. Create in me a clean heart. I think that's wonderful. To manifest, to show the flowing out of these gifts to every man. Every man. Now, some people have developed a philosophy that only one or two within a church are allowed to have these gifts. Well, I don't believe that's so, because that's not what it's saying here. It says to every man. And when they say that they only believe that one or two should have these gifts, that is not found anywhere in Scripture. And that it's now speaking of gifts, Kathy and myself and others. Okay, here I go again. I'm repeating myself. Let's go down here a little bit. Another thing, the Holy Spirit will not boast of himself. He will not say, well, I, the Holy Spirit, did this, or the Holy Spirit did that, because he is there to honor and to glorify Jesus Christ and the Father. Couldn't you ever been to a meeting or a service, and it happened this morning to me, where you've been thinking about something in the Scripture, and you think to yourself, boy, you know, that would be kind of nice if I could just get up and read that Scripture, and then all of a sudden, somebody from the other side of the room will stand up, and they will read that exact same Scripture. Or you have a song that you'd like to give out, and someone else will stand up, and they will give out that particular song. Well, my friends, to me, that's a God thing. That's the Holy Spirit at work, I believe, within us. Now, we've already spoken about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're given out to each person. Now, the Holy Spirit does, I believe, the Holy Spirit will give certain people certain gifts. And as we use those gifts, then he may endow us with other gifts. You never know. But when we have the gifts of the Spirit, they're ours to use. They're ours to put into practice. And if we don't put them into practice, I think we fall very short. So, now let's have a look at the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is something that I believe that if we follow the gifts of the Spirit, that we can enjoy. And that was also mentioned this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is number one, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And it says, against these there is no law. Why wouldn't we want to enjoy the fruits of the Spirit? I don't know. I don't know. The gifts of the Holy Spirit can be ours, as I said, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit can be ours. But I'd like to say that without love, as we mentioned, none of these are possible. Jesus said, keep my commands. One of his commands is love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love is very, very important. And if your heart is not in right standing with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have not asked for forgiveness, then you're just spinning your wheels. You're just spinning your wheels. But if we have asked Jesus for forgiveness and we've asked Jesus to come into our heart, number one, the Holy Spirit dwells within. He's right here. He is right here for us. We get a new life. We get a new look. There's a song that I remember when I was younger. It goes, things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. You see, everything is brand new. Mentioned again this morning that old things are passed away, and behold, everything is made new. We are hearing what the Holy Spirit can do, and we're hearing what the Holy Spirit gives, and what we are supposed to do. But how can we do any of these things if we don't have love in our hearts, first of all? As I said before, all the gifts and all the fruits are worthless without love. And you know, there's a passage of scripture that I use a lot, and I know that you've heard it here quite a bit, and I use it at weddings. And it's in Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, and it says this. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of angels, but I do not have love, I am nothing but a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor, and I give my body over to the hardship, that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Why? Because love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes, and it always perseveres. Love never fails. Love is the greatest gift of all." It was through love that Jesus died on that cross. It was through love that Jesus rose from the grave. It was through love that Jesus did it for you, and he did it for me. The Holy Spirit wants each one of us to have gifts that honor Jesus Christ, which are again wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecies, discerning of spirits, kinds of tongues, and interpretations of tongues, gifts. Then we're able to enjoy the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If you want to know more on the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works, I would suggest looking at Romans chapter 8. That's a wonderful chapter. Romans chapter 8 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. I haven't bored you too much this morning, and I hope that with all my heart that the Lord Jesus Christ rests within your hearts, and that you know him, that you trust him, and you lay everything at his feet, and that he may honor you, that the Holy Spirit may honor you through him. Let's pray. Jesus, we just come into your presence again, and we just ask that you would just be with us now as we come to the close of our service. Holy Spirit, we thank you so very, very much that you are an all-seeing, all-knowing Spirit. We thank you that you guide us, that you direct us, that you make our paths straight. We thank you that you are there to protect us. We thank you that you are there to oversee everything that we do. We thank you that you are there to honor Jesus Christ and the Father. Lord, I just pray that as we leave this building today, that these gifts of the Spirit may be put into use, that we may walk in tune with the Holy Spirit, that we may listen, and that we will go where he directs and where he guides. Teach us, our Heavenly Father. We all need to be taught. We all need to learn, and the Holy Spirit is a great subject. And I pray, our Heavenly Father, that as we look into the Holy Spirit, that your words may just come alive in your book. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for your precious love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.